Hey guys, my name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
I already clapped, so we can just go.
Really?
It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm fond of it.
What do you got today, man?
Not a whole lot. weather's been weird, eh? Not to talk about the weather.
Well, if we're talking about the weather, change the channel.
Yeah, change the channel.
Nothing worse.
Well, we had like a few weeks of, just to keep talking about the weather. Yeah. We had a few weeks of sun in a row, no rain. Everyone was complaining about the lack of rain. Now all we've had is rain and clouds. I also heard the wildfires are affecting our air quality.
So I'm here.
So
the best is when people say, you know, there's got to be something going on. Eh?
It's got to be. Conspiracies. Yeah, it's the best.
It's got to be something going on.
They're not telling us everything.
No. A lot of fires right now.
They're not telling us everything.
I don't know, man.
Who's they? My favorite. I know. That's my favorite about conspiracy theories. It's like they. Everyone always says they are. They do it. They, yeah. Who's they? I need to know who they is.
I give up.
You know, I give up too. Okay, so it's summertime now. School's done. I think there's, by the time this episode's out, school will be done for everyone. What's today? 28?
Yeah, in Canada. I think that in the United States of America, a lot of people are out of school already.
Yeah,
I think
right.
They're a week or two ahead.
Yeah.
But in Canada, I know my kid's out of school.
Yeah, graduated.
He was very happy to take his don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That's nice. What his thing was. Yeah. See you later, alligator. Can I be a hockey player now?
Yeah. See you never.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I know. He's an adult.
Almost.
Isn't that crazy?
Another 6 months, he's actually an adult.
Actually. Legally.
Yeah.
Kind of weird that they just picked 18 as the adult age.
Yeah. It's only adult for some things.
No, isn't that weird?
I know. It's really weird.
Well, with that, we have our AAA camps coming up. So I want to mention that one more time because they're starting in 2 weeks. So July 10th to 13th is the 2011 and 2012 age groups, which I believe would be U13 and U12.
Okay.
That's confusing. I don't know why they had to do that.
I like major band and minor band.
I don't know why they had to make it U. And it's equally or it's more confusing now because those ages are like the 2011s, 12s, 13s. So it's like U13, 2013, but that's not actually U13. Anyways.
I know.
So the first week we have is the 10th to 13th. That's the 2011 and 12s. That one's almost full. So a couple spots left if you guys are interested in coming. Then I went through the contact things that you guys need to do in the last few episodes, and if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you've listened to those last ones, so send me a note through the contact page and I can talk to you about that. And then the next week after that, which is the 17th of July, yes, that is the U10 U11, which is the 2013s 2014s 2014s.
Throws me off.
Isn't that bizarre?
Throws me off.
So I feel like 10 years ago was still the 90s. And I'm starting to not feel that anymore. It's been long enough where the 90s doesn't feel like 10 years ago for me anymore.
Yeah.
So those two things are coming up and they're filling up. So please reach out if you'd like to be a part of those because they're going to be wicked awesome. I'm going to run through the itinerary real quick of how the day goes. So you come in and check in. Then we split the group in two. One group goes on the ice. Other group does a workout. Then they do a flip-flop. Other group goes on the ice. Group that was on the ice works out. Then we have a time for them to eat food. And then we have a guest speaker come in. And that could be a coach. It could be a GM. It could be me talking about off-ice things or one of the very many OHL college players that we have here. And those guys are awesome, really good kids. So we'll have them give a little talk. Boys can ask them questions and meet them and all that. And then we play some kind of game on the ice after, whether it's a full scrimmage or small area games or whatever for the last hour. So it's a pretty awesome camp. A lot of good players, a lot of good coaches, a lot of good things to be exposed to. So if you're interested in that, it's coming up. So reach out if you would like to do that. And then the last thing I'm going to ask is through the summertime, because it's not hockey season, a lot of people are doing a lot of different things. So they're playing other sports and whatever. So I've noticed that all of this, we still have all the people that normally listen, but a lot of people are not paying attention to hockey things. And because we're branded as a hockey podcast, it's very helpful when you guys share and like the podcast and do reviews and stuff. It drives it to other people. So, and the last thing I want to say too is just for all the people, because I've noticed like all of our listens are like consistent even through the summer, which is weird because it's not hockey season and people are still listening to us talk. And I'm just really grateful for like people that are consistently listening like every week. It's unbelievable. I can't even believe that there's that many people that give a shit about what we have to say. So I'm really appreciative of that. And like people are sending us messages and emails and stuff all the time. And it's really cool. You guys are really helping to change how we can like reach more players and spread actual information about hockey stuff instead of you just having to listen to Joe Dad down the street or whoever, because you don't have a good resource. So I'm really grateful that everybody that is consistently listening to the full episodes and like sharing it and talking, we're developing some like nice relationships with some of the members too.
Well, speaking of a nice relationship, how about last week? You probably forgot about this already. Do you remember? You know what I'm going to say?
No.
So I was finishing something.
Oh yeah,
up.
We didn't even talk about this.
Yeah, bizarre. I was finishing something up, and you were starting your workouts yeah. before I was going on the ice in an hour. Mm-hmm. And Charlie came in. He goes, "Dad, there's someone from Whitehorse. Is it UConn or Northwest area? Northwest.
UConn.
Is it UConn?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's here to see you guys." I said, "What?" So, but I was on the phone. That's what it was. I was on the phone and I said, "Oh yeah, give me a minute." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" So anyways, we had a couple from and their family, their listeners that came down, and they came down to Windsor, our facility specifically, to say hi and see what the program's all about, and the nicest people ever, and took a picture at the end and all that stuff, and just an awesome family. And they talk about appreciating like people that are listeners. Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing to listen on, you know, however you listen, but to actually come to Ontario, they're here on a visit. And they spent an hour or so coming down here specifically to come to this place.
Yeah.
And it was nice that they got to see like a live workout, the startup of it and stuff. It would have been cool if they saw the on ice stuff, but they didn't. But unbelievable people. I was like, that's unbelievable.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming across Canada.
The wife said, like, you know, I could have done without this, but this guy here, the dad, he said he's coming down.
Yeah.
He says he just loves it. So and then of course a couple opportunities may arise from that through conversation. And it was awesome. And it was interesting to see how it works in that area of Canada, way up north. It's you know, they're so limited to players and they have to come up with ideas. And you know, one of the problems they have is like once a kid gets to a certain level, that's pretty good. Understandably, there's not a lot of players. They don't play a lot of games. A lot of them move away. Like Dylan Cousins that plays for Buffalo, he was one of them. And guys like that have to move away just to get some actual good hockey. So the challenge is there. But the kids love hockey. It was just awesome. Really good, really neat conversation. So that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I really forgot.
So speaking about appreciating. Yeah. Yeah. You listening? It's like, and we also appreciate when you just come from the Arctic to come and say hi for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Like, yeah, God, that was nice. And so I hope they enjoyed their time here. They seem like they did. And,
yeah, thanks again, Jeremy, for popping in because I know he'll listen to this. I literally forgot that happened. I'm laying on the mat and he pops in. He goes, "Hey, are you Eric?" And I was like, "Yep." And I'm right away like,
"Yeah, what?"
Like, yeah, guards up right away. I'm just like, "What do you need? What are you gonna try to do?"
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought he was going to ask about, I thought he was just like a local person asking about training or whatever. And Then he told me that he came from the Yukon. So anyways,
super nice.
Yeah. So that's really cool. So anyways, thanks again to all you guys that are consistently listening, man. It's really does mean a lot. And we get to spread the message far and wide because you guys are the ones that drive it, which is really cool. So, with that, you did the whole episode today. So I'm going to hand it off to you and, do you have any introductory things you'd like to
spiel first? Well, I was thinking because I wanted to congratulate a friend of mine.
Okay.
And it actually, it's worth people going to listen to his podcast because it actually kind of coincides with today, believe it or not.
Well, we seem to be very good at that.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it.
Yeah.
So anyways, a friend of mine, his name is Mike Weber. He was a former player with the Buffalo Sabres originally, a little bit in Washington, played a little bit of Washington, the defenseman, hard working guy. So Mike, used to do a lot of skills with him. And, he was one of those guys, him and Dalton, that I would gauge Dalton Prout. I would gauge if we're doing too much. Remember, I used this comment before. I was, he was bent over one time when we were doing one of these harder skates. And I said, how you feel, Mike? You still good? And he looked at me and said, I'm a professional hockey player. I'm here to work. And one of his lines is you can't scare a worker with work. And Mike is a true blue, hardworking guy. So anyways, with knee injuries and all these different things, Mike wanted to get into coaching. So he got into coaching, and the first coaching job that he took was with the Windsor Spitfires. And he did it when he came back from Sweden, and he did it more or less on a volunteer basis to say, look, I can coach and to learn the ropes. And that's Mike Weber. I mean, this guy will work. So he did that, and then he got hired as an assistant coach. And then after a couple of years of that, got hired with the Buffalo Sabres, and he worked in Rochester for the American League team. And then he just got hired, well, it's a couple of weeks now, in St. Louis as an assistant coach with the St. Louis Blues. So I would suggest that anybody that wants to go back episodes, look at the Mike Weber interview. Because he just, like, he is a true blue. There's no bullshit with him. Hardworking guy, super nice guy. But, like, about work ethic and doing it what it takes, he proved it in hockey. And that's actually one of the things I told him. I said, if you put the work boots on like you did as a hockey player, you'll be an NHL coach, 100%. And he's working his way up, and he's doing it rather quickly. So very happy. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
I was just going to tell people the episode.
Okay.
That episode. Oh. Sorry about that. That episode is number 31, one of our early, early ones.
Yeah.
So just so you guys know, Mike Weber, episode 31.
That was in COVID time.
Yeah.
So anyways, really interesting. And what it is about working. And I know. And I think I used him even in last week's episode talking about what do you do extra. Because that was Mike, right? He would do Pilates. He would do yoga. He was like, maybe to a fault. But he was so concerned about losing a job. And it was just ingrained in him to work hard. So work is what he does. So it's just nice to see that, you know, because part of the podcast is these things apply to hockey, but they apply to life. So if you take, and this is what you love to talk about all the time, is like when you take the skills that you have in hockey, you want at the end of the day, because most people aren't going to be hockey players, to take a skill and transfer it into some area of life. And that's exactly what he did. So there's a guy that obviously learned some lessons from hockey, applying it to get another career. Happens to be in hockey, but if he sold cars, he'd be the best car salesman.
Yeah, and that was I was just going to point that out. This is a guy that was a professional hockey player, but it was still of benefit to him because he finished playing hockey when he was 34.
Like, yeah, 33, 34.
It's like that, you got a lot of life left after that, right? And if you don't capitalize on those skills, then what are you doing for the rest of your life, you know? And like he played a lot of hockey, but he wasn't Jeff Bezos on a yacht where he can just ride off into the sunset. Like he still needs to work and do things, right? So, it's important that you can take some of those things and bring them into something else afterwards. It's really important.
It's incredible.
He's a great example of that. So,
yeah.
You told me that too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I was just happy. You know, I sent him a thing, changed his phone number. So I thought, I texted him. I said, hey man, congratulations. Real proud of you. And it was like 3-4 days later. I'm like, well, you don't care about me anymore. You can't even respond. Like, you jackass. You can't even say, hey, thanks, Andy, whatever. And then he texted me one day about something. And I said, dude, I just texted you the other day. Obviously, now that you got this new phone, Phone number was, So anyways, he's good. Cool. He's not a bad guy. No. So anyways, what I wanted to talk about today is, you can come up with the title, I guess. But what I was thinking about is, you know, I love just the everydayness of this place because it brings up conversations and brings out ideas for the podcast. And it's just like, it's real life stuff, right? That's where we get our ideas. It's like, it's right in front of us. And it was maybe a week or two ago, one of our older guys was lifting. He goes to university. And in the States on a scholarship, and he was lifting, and a couple of the younger guys, younger meaning 17, 18 year olds, were looking and saying, God, he's strong, man. And I'm like, yeah, he's strong. But I said, yeah, you two guys are like right there. Well, yeah, but he's strong. And I said, yeah, but so this is the thing. It makes me think, you know, like, because I think about it myself, I'm just watching the changes in my son's face and all these different things. And it's like 2 years ago, he was a little boy. Right now, he's like starting to look, well, you know, growing up. He's got to shave every couple of weeks or every week now. And it happens. It just happens. So what I was saying to them is like, okay, so where were you guys going to be? Like, so the 17-year-old, I said, where are you going to be in 5 years? The guy's 22. You're strong, as strong or stronger in many exercises. On this one, you're saying he's strong, and he is. But but you guys are 5 years away because you've been working out. You got 5 years. Do you think you'll be as strong as that? And they're like, oh, for sure. Yeah, I guess so. Eh? They don't necessarily think of that, and it's hard. And I think the parallel that you can think about is also like parents can look. A great example is I remember kids coming up in hockey and you just have that 1 year older. So especially when you get the puberty ages, you get 13, 14, 15 in the draft year kids or the U16s. When you look at the kids that are 1 year older, the parents always say it, they go, my God, I can't believe how big these guys are, how fast it is. And it's like, it's inconceivable that, and even for me, not even for me, for me as well, going through this every year, I would look at the older kids, 1 year older than my son, and I go, like, they're 6 feet tall now. Like, you know, they've hit it. Like, I can't believe our kids are going to be that. But then it happens. It happens every year. So as parents and kids, you can look at someone 2, 3, 5 years older, as we're talking about, we can be, holy crap, like, that's, they're so good. And it's hard to believe that that's actually going to be you. And that's going to be you whether you do anything about it or not. You're going to just be bigger, stronger, better, faster, hairier, more mature, swear more, all those different things, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, another example that I mentioned to you earlier today. We had another kid, it was a younger group, and a new kid joined this group that he's not a hockey player, he's a wrestler, and he came in to start training with us while he's in his off season, and he's 21, but he's a small guy. He wrestles in a very lightweight class. I think he's 50. He's going to be 57 kilogram weight class, 125 pounds, or he's going to have to be, he has to be at 135. Anyways, but he's 21, but he's a small guy. So it's hard to tell how old he is when you look at him. So this guy was pumping pull-ups. He had like a 50 pound weight ripping pull-ups. And one of the younger kids was like, my God, like, I'm trying to keep up with this guy. And like, I can't, like, I just can't. And like, I'm way bigger than him. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not even 16 yet. And he's 21. And the size factor doesn't necessarily matter when you're talking about the man years, right? So one thing that is apparent after kids start to hit puberty, when everybody starts to grow and everyone's around the same size, and this kind of goes to the point you were talking about with the kids you were mentioning in your example, the ages start to blend after puberty. You can't tell how old people are anymore, right? So some of our guys that are 17 and 18 are the same size as the guys that are 22, 23. And because they're working out in the same group, you kind of feel like you're the same age. Like, you feel like you're in the same ballpark, but you're actually not even close. You know, 5 years is a huge difference from 17 to 22, you know? So it's hard, again, like I said this last week too. You have a hard time gauging time frames when you're a teenager. I remember it. Like, time is, it seems really long when it's not. Like, summer seems really long. Like, the off season seems like it's really long, but it's not. Like, even if you have a full off season of 4 months, that's not a long time. Realistically, you're going to put in 2 really solid months of work and you're going to get a ton of big gains as a 17, 18, 19 year old. You know, 2 months is not long, right? So you might have like a few weeks before and a few weeks after that where you're gearing up and then toning it down to go to the season, but it's probably like the bulk of it is about 2 months. And so it's hard to see that when you're that age. So you're comparing to, you know, a guy that's 22 in university, but you feel like you're the same age because you're hanging out in the same group and you're playing sewer together before the workout and you guys are just shooting the shit on a daily basis. So it starts to feel like you're the same age, but you aren't. So you look at a guy that's lifting and it's like, man, how come he's that strong and I'm not? And you can forget time. you know? You forget about time.
Testosterone is just going straight upwards,
yeah.
And you're
like
just getting it.
Time. Yeah, that's prime time.
So for both of them, he's getting it. But the 22-year-old's had like incredible amounts of testosterone for the last 7 years, or so, roughly.
Well, and sorry, just one other thing with that older player, because we've had other college guys too, but it's apparent that they're in college. Like that's the thing. It's like they I know that about them. But with this guy in particular, it's his first summer working with us.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing. Like I'm watching him do some of his lifts and I'm like, holy crap, this guy's freaking strong. Myself. Like I know the difference and I am forgetting the difference when I'm watching it happen too, right? Yeah. So it's you can see how you can get caught up not realizing the difference. You know?
Oh yeah. So I'm gonna add to that in a minute. Yeah. So my next thing here is just to make this a podcast is it's people get stuck. So like even when you're looking at yourself as a hockey player and you're comparing yourself, right? You might be comparing to yourself to someone, as we speak about this all the time, that is physically more mature than you, like physically, not age, physically more mature. So a 15-year-old could be 18 or 17, or a 15-year-old could be 14 or 13 or 15. Make sense? So those years are like, okay, physical years are, you know, you can make that up. Okay. But here's my question is it's where have you come? Like, have you ever dealt yourself as a player, as a, in the weight room, anything? Just look at your age, whatever it is, 15, 17, or 11, and look where have you, where have you come in the last 5 years? Where have you come from? Right. So if you just look at a hockey player, if you're 15 years old, if you look at what you were at 10, there's a huge difference, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're obviously bigger. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here. you're obviously bigger, but just your skills, you know, like you'll see some kids that skated at 10 that you thought were really good skaters. And then at 15, they don't look quite as fluid and vice versa. You look at someone that looks maybe a little bit weaker and, or gangly or awkward. And then at 15, it's like, oh, that kid turned into a nice skater. It's just, he just got stronger. You know, you grow, your hands, your shot, everything comes. Like a 10-year-old to a 50-year-old shot is a big difference. And so every player needs to kind of look at where have I come from in the last 5 years? So let's take the 17, 16-year-old kid that we were taking. Oh, no, we'll keep it the 15-year-old. Now, just without doing anything, where are you going to be in the next 5 years on the ice? You're going to get stronger. You're going to probably grow an inch or two or five. Your
skills improve.
What's that?
Your skills improve. Well,
exactly. Your skills are going to improve because you do more skills, right? You have more touches, like the pull-up guy, right? Or even the lifting, right? When you first start lifting, it's not possible to do 20 pull-ups. Well, it's possible, but you're most likely not going to do 20 pull-ups or add weight to it because your body has never done it. If you've done 60 push-ups or pull-ups a week, for 3 years, that adds up to a lot of pull-ups. So if you're 21 years old and you do that in your workouts, pull-ups are a natural part of your life. So that young guy can sit there and go, but we're the same size. It's like, yeah, he's done maybe 2,000 pull-ups and you've done 200. He's going to be that much better, right? So it's the same transferable thing on the ice. You should just be better automatically, right? And then now take that skill development, but actually put some intent to it. Now, if you put some intent to skill development, you should grow exponentially. True dot?
True dot.
True dot. True dot. And then mentally, you're going to make some changes too. It might be sometimes a thing of just confidence and stuff like that. So mentally, emotionally, all that stuff, you're going to make a lot of changes just naturally. Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
So I already talked about that.
Can I go?
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I don't want to wreck your flow.
Nope.
I have a good story you're going to like. Okay. It might derail us a little bit.
But no,
you'll
good.
Like the story. It's along the same lines. So one thing that this happened just today. This is why this story, I was reminded of it just as you were talking. So today I was at the gym training today, and I'm in the middle of a round, and I'm rolling with a guy who's a purple belt, right? So this guy is way better than me, way better than me. So, and shout out Teddy, because he's not going to listen to this at all, but he's like really good lesson, and he doesn't even know that he just gave me this really great lesson. So we're rolling. It's a 5-minute round. So by minute 3, I can tell he's gassed. So he had just tapped me twice. Now he's gassed. So he started in turtle. He went in turtle position, which if you don't know, it's like you're on your forearms and on your knees and you're just tucking in to try to not get mauled because he was gassed. So I get to start in a position where I'm have the advantage, basically. So I'm going on to start trying to get him to submit. And as soon as I'm making a move, he will start to move. And then as soon as he starts to move, in my head, I remember that he's way more experienced, way better, way older. And I'm like, okay. And then I stop, because I feel like he's going to toss me or he's going to do something that I'm not ready for, because I know that gap is there, right? So we're in the middle of the roll and I had him. I could have got him. And then I backed off because I felt the move and shift, and I was scared of getting tossed over, right? So he stops me in the middle of the roll and he's like, man, like, why are you not like finishing the job here, kind of thing? And I'm like, man, I was like, honestly, man, like I'm scared that I can feel you move. And then I know you know way more things than me. So even if I try to get you, I know you're going to do something. And he's like, man, like he's like, I'm exhausted. He's like, I'm in turtle. You have the advantage. It's like, it doesn't matter if you think I'm better. Try to finish the job. You know, the gap doesn't matter right now. And then he said he had a great line at the end. I told him, because I said to him, I was like, I don't have the confidence to do it because I know I'm going against somebody better. And he just said, man, he's like, have confidence in the fight right now. He's like, you don't have to think about how much gap there is. You don't have to think about how far off you are. You don't have to think about those things. Like in the moment we're in right now, where you're at in this position, like you have the advantage. It doesn't matter that I'm better than you or that I've been doing it way long. None of those things.
You have a fighter's chance.
Yeah, exactly, right? So yeah. I'm in a position right now where I can capitalize, and I'm choosing to not because of my own lack of confidence. And that is stemming from knowing the gap between me and the next guy. And I think that's a really common line of thinking for a lot of kids. If you know, you're ever on the ice and you're skating against somebody that's way better than you, it's like all of a sudden you can't pass the puck anymore. You know, or like you're gripping your stick so tight, or like you're nervous, and then you flub a pass or you miss him by a mile. And then this guy that you're going against is like, Jesus Christ, just pass me the puck, man. Like, yeah. It's okay. Like, just pass me the puck.
Or you get a hip on someone in your first year in the OHL and it's Arbor Jack guy.
Right.
Right. And you're a guy that goes to the net, but you don't go to the net quite as hard because you are thinking about the consequences or
right.
Like, I shouldn't be able to do this. And you see that all the time until you get confidence. And that's why you see a lot of guys in the first year or two or whatever, that you have to have success. You have to be there a couple of times before you.
And my point of bringing that up is like, I think it's because you're conscious of the gap that is between you and the guy that you're looking at or the guy that you're comparing to. And if you're conscious of the gap, it's okay to a degree that you know that there's a difference, obviously, because you need to have self-awareness about where you are relative to other people. But don't let it stop you when you're actually in the fight now. Because like when you're in the fight now you have to go do battle. And if you prematurely take yourself out of that stretch of development or that stretch of trying to get better or whatever, just because that guy's better than you, then you're just like doing that self-defeating. You're taking yourself out before you can even start, you know? And that's an attitude that you want to make sure, whether you're in the gym looking at somebody stronger than you or you're on the ice looking at somebody better than you, like don't prematurely take yourself out or count yourself out or think I can't compete because this guy's farther ahead of me. All that stuff, it just defeats you before you even get to start trying, you know? So it's important to keep that in mind, whether you're on the ice, because to your point, exactly what you just said, it's like you will be there. Like if you keep working, you will be there. You're going to catch up at some point, provided you do the work and provided you have the right mindset and you keep at it and all those things that you were just talking about, you're going to end up getting to that point, you know? So if you chop yourself out before you even have a chance, then you're never going to get there. You have no chance now.
No, 100%.
Yeah. So 100%. I thought that was a cool little.
No, that's a great lesson. So I want to spend a little bit of time here just going to set the table here. So you're a hockey player, and maybe you're not the best guy on the team, but maybe you're average. And it's like, it seems like there's a gap, and there is, let's say there is, it's easy to get overwhelmed. And it's easy to maybe even work hard, but not sure what you're doing. But if you do it specifically, if you, like, you know, I'll lay it out here in a second. If you do it specifically, then you can close these gaps big time. Okay. So what I mean by that is, again, look at something. I guess we'll use an equation, and I don't know if this is the right equation. It's not like EMC squared, but maybe it is. if you take time, right? So don't, like you said in that fight, it actually is different than the fight. You said go in the moment, but in the moment you can do something, but don't look at getting results immediately. Okay, and we've talked about this several different ways before. But what we want to do is you want to put time in to a deficiency, put some intelligent hard work into it, and over time, let's give yourself the 4 or 5 years or 6 or 7 or 3 or 2, something like that, to fix a problem, right? And if you can do that with a couple different skill buckets, you've become a better hockey player. True? And one thing I would like to say is, to be clear about, is number one, not mindless training. And this is where I think a lot of the problems come in, is that people think that doing more, going on the ice, doing more, like let's say, Eric, you got bad hands or you're whatever. There's a deficiency in your game somewhere. And just go and do more skill session, more ice, more ice, more ice, more ice. A lot of the times that doesn't work. And I'm going to use an example here. I know, and I beat up power skating a lot of the times. And the reason I'm not against it at all, but what I find a lot of times is someone says, yeah, I've been going to this power skating person. And I'm like, okay, cool, because I cannot tell, right? And that's a way that you can try it, but then it's about being intelligent about it. What else can I do? Like, we're talking about fixing a gap. So instead of mindless training, be intent. And then the second part of this is, don't beat yourself while you're doing this. Beat yourself up while you're doing this, because it's a process, and it should and can be fun. Okay, if you do this in an intelligent way.
Yeah, can I cut you off?
Yeah, 100%.
So the
turn my page anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to touch on that training mindlessly, because the reason it starts to be an issue is because when you start out training anything, it is mindless because you don't know anything. And because you're doing it mindlessly to start, you do get better. It's the newbie gains, right? If you never train in the weight room, you can start doing anything in the weight room and you're going to get better, right? If you're training for hockey, if you start practicing at all, you're going to get better. So the problem is people don't graduate their mindset to being more specific as they get better, you know? So I was reading another book, that conditioning book I mentioned a few episodes ago. I was reading that conditioning book, and it's a common theme that people who are experts in their field will say, it's like, you have to be specific about what you're trying to work on to get a result. And they'll always make mention of this newbie gains thing. It's like, if you're inexperienced, then yeah, you can do anything and you'll get better, but that doesn't mean it's the best way to get better. So the more experience you get, the more you have to be intentional and specific about your training. And that is where the disconnect happens, because it worked when you were younger to just go out and do cones. It worked when you were younger to just sit in your driveway and work on your shot. It worked on all that stuff worked. And then you get more experience, so it doesn't work anymore. It will stop working. You're going to plateau. So how do you break the plateau? You have to increase your intensity and you have to increase your specificity on what you're doing. So if you increase the intensity, but it's still generic, you're not going to get any better. So it has to be specific to something you want to try to work on. You know, it could be a conditioning thing. If you keep going for 5K runs, you're not going to improve your top end speed. That's not how you do it, right? It might actually help when you're younger though. If you just do conditioning, your speed might get better just because you need to improve everything. You know, so that is where that happens.
And you're growing and
all those things, right? So that's, as parents too, like that's the important thing when you're choosing training for your kid, that specificity thing starts to come into play once they're 15, 16, maybe a little bit younger, but around that age, you know. The reverse is also true. When you're 10, it doesn't have to be super specific because they can be general. They need everything. But as they get older, you have to graduate your mindset. Otherwise, that plateau is going to happen. And we have so many guys that play junior. We were just talking about it before this, where they go to the skate that somebody's putting on that has zero impact on their deficiencies. They're already playing junior. They're already good at everything, basically. You know, now we need to get specific to fix those things, you know. And if you're at just a generic training session that isn't designed specifically for you, then it's not as beneficial as it should be, you know? So that's just to sharpen up that point that you're making, because it's really, really important that people don't realize that, or they don't remember it or whatever. So it's important that you keep that in mind as you start to get more advanced in your training.
Yeah. So I was speaking with a scout. Okay. And not everyone does it the exact same way, but I would agree with this. There's basically four pillars of scouting. Okay. So I'm looking as a hockey player, let's just act like I want to get better as a player. And if you're better, then a scout would say, right, you're getting looked at. People would want you, like whether you want to call a coach a scout, a manager a scout, whatever. Getting picked to play at a different level is basically being scouted, right? So I would say that I would agree with this. Hey, Charlie boy, I would agree that there's four basic pillars of scouting, right? One would be, and he put them in this order. Hockey sense, compete, skill, and skating.
In order.
That's what is his order. Now, yeah. I know that there's going to be people that say, no, it's got to be skating's number one. If you can't skate, can't play. We'll argue that there in a second. But, I mean, we're not talking about someone on his ankles, right? But in his order, that's the way it is. Argue it all you want. I'm not arguing it. It's like, okay, that's how you see it. That's how you rate a player. That's fine. It actually makes sense to me. Okay, and you always take everything with a grain of salt. So let's just say there's four basic pillars of scouting. Okay, we'll go through it again. Hockey sense, compete, skill, skating. All right. As a player, and this is where parents and coaches could actually help, right? You can set a plan and stuff like that. So as a player, you start breaking down what do I need help with, right? So
maybe like which of those four?
Which of those? Well, like, okay, so if I'm a player, I'd say, like, if I know this information that there's four different things, do I have, so let's go hockey sense. Does it appear like I have hockey sense? Do people say I have hockey sense? Does it seem like I'm around the puck? Does it seem like I'm making plays? Does everything I do die when I'm around it? Like the play, I get the puck, plays died, and I'm back checking, and it's like, or I'm floating around the ice, I'm not sure where I am. Okay, if it's really good, you've probably got good hockey sense, putting up points and all that stuff. If you make play, if you're not in the corner every time you carry the puck, if you are the opposite, you probably need help with your hockey sense. Okay, that's without someone actually evaluating. You should know that or get opinions. There's number one. Compete. Have you heard that? Like, he just doesn't. It seems like you're working hard, or it seems like there's more that you can get. Like, you know what compete is. If someone gives you a shot, do you give them a shot back? I'm not saying retaliate as an idiot. Do you go to hard areas and stuff like that? That's kind of compete. When the game's on the line, are you ready to go? Right? Skill, right? Do you got good hands? Do you make plays? Do you, can you make passes? Can you get to the net? Can you tip pucks? Can you figure that part out? You know, can you shoot a puck well? That's your skill part. If that's lacking, then pick that. And then skating, right? Right? So now, within those four different things, obviously, there's a whole bunch of skill buckets within those things. But in general, that's what you got to figure out, right? If it's skating, because that's a big word for a lot of things. Is it forward? Is it backwards? Is it, you know, blah, 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 quickness, speed,
yeah, so
power.
Start with those four as like a
right.
framework.
Yeah, that's
and
the framework.
Work
so,
within
so,
there.
Yeah, so if you can kind of look at that and say, I need to work on this, then that's what I'm saying is take the next good chunk of time and say, I need to spend time on this to make me a better hockey player. Okay? So I just kind of went through that, but I want to do this again. So in hockey sense, I'm just going to go through these real quick. Do you play? Do the plays die with you? Okay. Are you in a good position? Do you support the puck? Do you make plays? Do you do a whole lot of nothing? That's if you do, that means you're probably lacking hockey sense. So how do we fix hockey sense? Right. And to me, you know, and this is where I want people to kind of think on their own, because you can get some good ideas, but obviously you need to spend time watching video, watching hockey, learning the game, studying the game, study players, study systems, if that's what you're lacking. And it might be a real pain in the ass. But if you take a kid now that can skate, can shoot, has a really good compete, but he just doesn't know where to go or what to do, like you got 3 out of 4. That doesn't make you it makes you a bad hockey player now because you can't think the game. But if we got all these three things, yes, you continue to shoot and do skill stuff. And what's the other one? compete. Like you do things to compete, but you have to spend time understanding the game. How do I get open? Why am I like? So if you watch this now, you can say, well, no wonder I'm standing out here. Or have someone go to someone. These are the things I'm saying. Go to someone and maybe learn something, but study it. So there's a fixable thing. So now if you take, okay, so it's July right now. So, and I'm 15 years old or I'm 16 years old. If you spend a significant amount of time over the next 5 years, I'm just saying, let's keep it kind of small, like a couple hours a week studying hockey over the next 5 years and then applying that. Like, okay, so here's a simple thing. How can I have more hockey sense? Well, it always seems like I'm never F1 as a forward, ever. Okay, how can I be F1? Seems like when I back check, it's like guys still get pucks through. Oh, well, okay, maybe I have to work on getting, like, there's two things. I got to come to the middle and do that. So now you get one, maybe two things that you've got better at that you can apply in a game or in your practice. And now there's a little bit of a difference. And now you understand that, oh, okay, I noticed on power, on entries, the pucks come from the middle and it gets kicked out wide. And oh, a guy goes to the net and one guy comes high and this guy makes choices. Okay, I got to really pay attention to that. So maybe next practice and in games, I'm just going to the net really, really hard. See what happens. And then over 4 or 5 year period of time, I can guarantee you're going to be a better player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think this goes back to kind of a theme we talk about a lot too, is why it's so important to be someone that asks questions, because literally everything you just said came back to a question. It's like, am I doing this? Do I do this? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And so that's probably some good advice for parents too. If your kid doesn't know, you get to play question asker. And even if you don't know, like I had a really good consult with a dad and his two boys the other day, and they were asking me about meal planning stuff. And the dad was basically just saying, like, I'm not educated in this stuff. I don't know a lot about how to do this properly. And if I'm the one that's buying the food and making the food, like, I should probably try to educate myself a little bit about what I need to do. And I gave him a compliment. I'm like, man, good for you. Like, cause so many parents would just be like, okay, kids, talk to Eric and see you later, you know? And the dad is taking the initiative to learn about it. And he was sitting there asking the questions because his kids, who is 16 and 13, they're little kids, right? So like, they're not going to grill me for all the information they could possibly get, cause they don't even know what to ask because they're not even in the game yet. They're not even in the game of what they should be asking about. They have no idea, right? You don't know what you don't know. So for kids that are younger, how can you start to do this? It's like, make sure you're asking questions. If the kid's not asking a question, then parents can ask the kid questions, you know? And then eventually the kid will start asking.
Yeah, like, why does that guy get always in front of the net at the right time?
Right. And some kids have it. Like, some kids have that natural curiosity to ask and try to figure it out. But if your kid doesn't have that, you can do your best to see if they bite on those questions. Because if they don't end up doing it, then they're going to have a really hard time getting better. And eventually they're going to have to take the lead on being the question asker to develop some of these things you're talking about. Otherwise, they'll never figure it out. If you never ask yourself a question, like, what am I missing? That's a question. Then you'll never know. And you're going to always be mindlessly training, always, whether it's in the gym or on the ice or whatever. So if your kid can't do it, maybe mom and dad, you can do it. But either way, somebody's got to be asking the question, because if nobody's doing it, then you're not figuring out what your deficiency is. And that's how you can start to address some of these things that you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, I just going with the hockey sense thing. It's like, if you're new to junior hockey, let's say, okay, and you've been used to seeing guys, or you watch an NHL game, whatever, and you'll see plays being made, you know, gets dumped into the zone, and you'll see a defenseman just stand there and like with zero urgency. If you're not understanding what's going on, you're going, well, why isn't he skating up the ice, right? That's not understanding the game. So that's the question, why, right? Or you see a forwards in junior, all of a sudden it's like, instead of having set breakouts like you see in youth hockey, all of a sudden you see two wingers, as soon as you get possession, way up at the far blue line. And if they get the puck, there's nothing you can do with it except for get it deep. Okay, so why? Well, there's the process of, okay, we're trying to do a different thing instead of skating up. We're trying to get pucks deep. But like, why, how? Like, those are great questions. Hockey sense.
Yeah, and just the reason I'm grilling on the question asking thing too is because I think it's very common that people don't know what question to ask. So how we, like you just gave the example of the D doesn't turn with any urgency to break the puck out. Like, that's a very specific thing that's going on. And maybe you don't know that defensemen are supposed to do that. and that's okay. But the point is you have to start somewhere. Start with the most obvious thing that you see. It's like your kid never crashes the net. Start there and it'll start to lead into other things. So you don't have to be in the most niche pocket of positional hockey to ask a question. Like, just start with the generic, start with the general things that you notice as mom and dad, or you notice as a player. Start with that, where it's just an obvious thing. What can I fix that's obvious? And then in the process of doing that, you'll learn more about the game. You'll learn more details. You'll learn more in depth about certain situations. And then you can go the next layer deep, and then the next layer deep. But you have to start somewhere. So if you're listening to us talk and you're saying, well, I wouldn't even know what a defenseman is supposed to do, or I wouldn't even know what the forward is supposed to do. You have some level of common sense when you're watching the game. So whatever is glaring to you, it's like, wow, my kid is always by the boards and never in the middle of the ice. Start with that. Why? What is he doing? Where's the puck? Those are questions that can come a lot easier than the very, very specific things that you might not be at that level yet to ask that question. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So you get, you know, just to end on that one there, is like, we have a couple examples that we're not going to share names or anything, but, you know, guys that are fairly good skill, they got a really good, all that stuff, but they just don't understand how the game's played. And when they go out and play, you watch and you go, this doesn't work, man. What you're doing, all the stuff that you're practicing and all the stuff that you think is going to be real cool, it just does not work. Because every time we see it, it just doesn't work, dude. You're trying to do something that's not real. That's the hockey sense. It's just, it's not drills. It's learning how to play.
Yeah.
So
one other thing before you move on, I don't know if it's 100% appropriate for this moment, but I'm going to say it anyways. There's also because you're mentioning time frames too, of like in, you know, 4 to 5 years or whatever, you'll be a much better player, or not even, it doesn't even have to be that long, 2 to 3, 1, whatever.
Well, you might see a difference in a month.
Yeah, it could be next week.
That's my point. Yeah. Then you can go deeper or expand on your next one.
Right. And I want to stress the importance of the keep showing up part. Just keep showing up to the game, the practice, the workout. Just keep, even if it's mindless because you don't know better yet.
Well, it's teaching you grittiness too.
But like, even just, it just makes sense that even without any intelligence at all, you're gaining experience over time. So if you stop coming, you're never going to get to develop in that area, you know? So just by continuing to show up, just keep being there, keep walking through the door, keep driving to practice, keep driving to the ring, keep driving to the gym, keep getting your stick out at home on the driveway and doing it. Just keep doing it. And eventually you will figure it out. Even if you're lost, if you're 100% lost and have no idea what to do, it's okay. You're going to start to figure it out, you know? And that goes for parents too. It's not even just for the players. It's like, if you start a new thing, a new skill, a new task, a new hobby, if you just start doing the thing that you are thinking about doing, and you'll start to figure it out. Because naturally, if you have any level of common sense, like we said, you're going to start to ask a question. It's like, oh, for Eric, I'm editing the podcast that I've never done before. And when I go to do this thing, this is an issue. I don't know how to get past this roadblock. Let's research that and figure out how to get by it. Next thing you know, now it's been 2 years we've been doing the podcast, 2.5 years, and I know how to edit everything and do it all. Coming from zero, I didn't know one thing. So in 2 years, I just kept doing it every week. You guys have heard a new podcast every single week. And over that time, maybe the product to people listening doesn't seem that different, but instead of it taking me 14 hours a week to edit the podcast, I've chopped that down to 5, you know? And then over time, it's just going to keep getting better, you know? So just keep going, like keep showing up and keep doing the thing, yeah. And you'll figure it out.
And the questions are great, because I'm just thinking that jackass there.
Yeah. Charlie, people.
I was just going to say jackass, but yeah. I was running a drill the other day, this time of the year, to do things that you don't necessarily do. They're not all that sexy, but I was doing wall slips. So if you're catching a puck on the wall and you see a guy pinching down or coming to hit you, how to roll off and use the boards as protection. So of course he's got 17 questions. And the thing is that I need to have answers, because this guy doesn't buy just whatever you're selling, which is good. That's what you wanted of a player. Mm-hmm. To say, but what if? Well, what if a guy wraps his arms around you? I'm like, well, with my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain things that, you know, but at least the questions there, it's like, I want to learn, I want to get better. Right. So that's, and then you get answers. You don't get answers without asking questions. So the next piece was the compete. Okay. So now the compete is, and you know, we were just talking about a guy before this is him to a T. Okay.
To a T.
So
frustrating.
Should be a signed NHL player.
Yeah.
Because he's got the skill. He's got the shot. He has, I wouldn't say his hockey sense is a 5 out of 5, but I'd say it's at least a 3. Yeah. Skates unbelievable. And he's great when there's no body checking. But as soon as there's a little bit of compete factor, brutal. And every scout says that I talk to says, yeah, it's great when there's no hitting or when it's a scrimmage, but as soon as it gets competitive, can't play. And there it is. So you look at people that go, look at them skate, look at this. That's fine. But now when the game's on the line or it gets a little bit tougher, or do you actually compete? Because that is actually the game. There's battles all over the ice. Do you ever win one? Or do you want the easy battles? And if you just want the easy stuff, you can't play, right? So what is compete? It's forecheck, it's backcheck, it's winning battles. It's going to the hard areas of the ice and going there maybe angry, maybe going there first, going there with a purpose. It's do you show off in tough games, right? It's easy to play the games when a team's on the third game in three days. And they're tired and they got bus legs and all that stuff. And they're on the road and, maybe it's a softer team or whatever. Those are the easy games, or a weaker team. That's easy to play. It's playing that tough game. Are you hard to play against? You need to be hard to play against, because if you're not, then I want to play against you. Everybody wants to play against you. That's the fun part. Playing against someone that doesn't want to compete. Oh man, all day. Do you give second effort? Do you give third effort, fourth? So that meaning I go in for a battle and a loose puck, and I miss it, and I bobble it, and then I go back and get it, and I take a hit, and I lose it, and I back check and steal it, or I go to the net, and I whack at a puck 2-3 times, second and third effort. That's what a compete is, because you want it really, really bad. If someone gives you a shove or a push or in a game, someone's, do you ever feel like just maybe I'm going to cross-check you across the back of the across the back because I just feel like it right now? Or is it like, that's I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Or someone gives you a shot, do you give it back? Do you take a number and say, okay, you're coming next time? I'm going to take, you're not going to like playing against me. You're going to know what kind of sticks do we use now? CCM or whatever. You can feel what that feels like on the back of the legs, right? And stand up for yourself, stand up for your teammate. That's what the compete is. And can I count on you in the games that are tight? And do you have a freaking pulse, man? And if you don't, I'm just saying, I'll take a kid, and I think I have this later, but I'll take a kid that can compete harder than anybody and has a little bit of hockey sense and has a little bit of skill that can't really skate well, say he's a 2 or 3, over a kid that can do all those other things and can't compete. 1,000%.
So this is a common one that people have problems with, and I remember having an issue with it when I was a kid, the compete part, because there's an element of it is for me at least, when I was a kid, it's I was a nice kid, and when it gets hard in the corners, I was just thinking about playing hockey. I wasn't thinking about I'm gonna hammer you, bro. That wasn't in me. I didn't have it. And then as I got older, a little bit older, I was still young, but it was just kind of I didn't know what it meant, compete. You gave examples of it, but this is a common thing that parents ask about too. It's my kid doesn't have they got skill, they're good at the game, they love playing, but they don't have that grittiness or they don't have that compete thing. So what would you say, I know you gave examples of where you can find it, maybe how to practice it or how to figure out how to pull it out of yourself, because I don't believe that it's just a thing you have or you don't. I think it's a thing that you can train, because I remember doing it with me. And part of it was my dad had the sense. He put me in boxing when I was in grade 7. And that was if I don't punch somebody, I'm going to get punched and I don't want to get punched. So then I started punching and it's this is part of toughness. I get it. That makes sense. Or just really digging deep when you're gassed at the end of a shift and still giving that extra effort or that extra little bit. So what are some things or some strategies, let's say you would say to help to train that or help to bring that out of your kid, whether it's, practice driving the net. That's an element of compete. The D is going to be leaning on you and you still got to try to get there. Those kinds of things. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, I think, okay, I'm not disagreeing you, but I'm going to disagree just a little bit. I think there's a lot of, I think there's certain kids that are very, very competitive.
I agree with that, yeah, for sure. There is a nature aspect, yeah, to it,
like,
for sure.
You take some kids, and if you play darts, they not like a baby, but they you know, they'll argue. No, that was out. That was it. Like, yeah, it's like, no. They have to win, right? And then if it's like you beat them 7 times in a row, they're like, well, let's just play one more. They do not understand that they actually are not as good. I'm going to win. And then if they win the one game, that's like, it might be, okay, we're good. That's a competitor. That's a competitor. There's a guy that if you get, you know, naturally some kids are, well, you don't be fooled though. Some guys are first in the corner every single time because they have that compete level. I want to be first, and they'll just fight for pucks. That's compete. Now, sometimes it's just because they're bigger and better. It's when everything evens out when it counts. So, great question. How do you fix compete? I think parents, let me say this first. I think a lot of kids don't know what that means, as you said, right? Because a lot of people are raised to be good people. So be a good sport. Don't slash anyone. If I see you break your stick,
play fair
and all that stuff. And it's good. You want to have good qualities, but within reason, right? So like when my son was growing up, he likes being rough and he thinks fighting's cool. But I also set a rule that you are not allowed to fight in youth hockey. Not allowed. You can hit. And I always warn him, hitting from behind, that's, you got to be careful because someone could get hurt. So you teach him within the rules and respecting other people. But youth hockey ain't fight. No chance. You fight, then we're fighting. Like, no, we have a huge issue. You're not playing anymore because there's no need. So, okay, within the confines of that, what are you allowed to do? Right? As parents, we've encouraged that aggressiveness in them. You need, because even outside of hockey, I don't want a meek person. I want to have a very nice, I want all three of my kids to be very nice, very polite, very well-liked if they can. That's not the most important thing, but I also want them to say, when it comes down to, like, if they're in sales or getting a job, I don't want them to say, well, you know, either him or me, whatever. No, I want the job, man. I want the job. I want a future. So part of that is parenting, like teaching them, like, desire to win, desire to compete, and desire not to quit. And then within the game of hockey is teaching them, like, I've noticed when you're playing that you can go to the net a little bit harder. Okay, well, yeah, but dad, and he gives you more excuses than a pregnant nun. Okay, I like your excuses, but you need to go there because that's what will help your team. You give it the team aspect, your own personal aspect. And you paint pictures of what a competitor is. You watch in a hockey game, or you're watching someone say, that's what happens when someone competes. That's a competitor. And you paint that picture, right? You watch rivalry, let's say, the Red Wings and Colorado, and you see the competitors. Right? And it's not about fighting. It's about in the battle every single time. You show a guy that's just a hard worker, like one of the guys on Charlie's team, he's 5'2". I'm joking, but Nemestikov, right? He's a smaller, thick guy. That guy competes, man. He goes, you know, he'll fight a big guy. He'll go in every battle. He loses a puck and it's back and it's like hack, whack, and get it back. That's a competitor. And there's something about watching a competitor. Like, I don't care who you are. When you watch someone compete for something, you feel something inside you that you know that's a good thing. And everybody wants that. You want to be that guy. It's Rocky, right? That's what makes Rocky so great, is he just wouldn't quit. So that's the competitor. So I know you said, but what else do you do? I know. So I think it's very important that you do things that are hard, right? So you make your kid aware that if he wants to be a hockey player, that these are the things that you have to have a competitor. Now let's do something hard. So if a kid's like just straight out scared, then help him get through scary things, right? I'm not saying boxing. I'm not saying that. It could be one. It could be jujitsu. It could be doing things that are hard to show them how to muck through things, right? It could be playing games at home, and it's like showing them that you quit. And just recognize that if your kid quits on certain times, just make them aware. Like, it just seems like when things are difficult or whatever, You don't like to keep going, and you need to fix this. Shit like that.
That's good. I think to clarify my own position, I'm not saying that I think you can turn a guy that has no bite to him at all into Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, and that's not like, what we're talking about.
No,
anyways.
I'm talking like if you are to maximize to whatever degree a kid has competitiveness, what would you do? And that's the answer that you just gave. That's good because I agree. Like there's some kids that just have it, man. And there's like a genetic component to that where they just have the bite in them. But it's like I know Charlie and I talk about this all the time because we like talking about fighting stuff. I tell him like the guys that I think are tough are like Nate Diaz, guys that have been fighting since they were 7 and had no choice but to fight. And they just got a dog in them that you can't compete. Like that is tough to me, for me personally. I don't think I'm not tough, but I'm not like that. I don't have that in me. So I know that there's a level of genetic component that's in there, which I understand. But if you want to try to pull out as much as you can, I think those examples you gave are great. And I also think that it's kind of the same as saying make them do hard things, but you put them in difficult environments, you know, put them in challenging or tough environments. That doesn't mean dangerous or stupid. Just put them in a tough environment. And I remember like I don't know why my dad thought to do that with me, put me in boxing, but I remember grade 7, I remember walking into Border City downtown and it is like grungy, old, stinks a bit. Everything's a little broken, at least while I was doing it. And yeah. And I remember walking in there just like this place, like I don't fit in here. Like I remember thinking
you're
that
from the wrong side of the tracks.
Wrong side. I remember just like going in there
unless
thinking
you're
that.
Not.
And it helped me to see like guys that grind, guys that show people walking in with a black eye and then talking to them and then being really nice people. Right. And like, this is where the difference was. It's like, just because you're getting in fights doesn't mean you're a loser or a criminal or a whatever. Cause they come up and chat. They give me knuckles every time we talk. I'm in grade 7. I'm whatever, however old that is, 13 maybe. And I don't belong in here. But then me saying like, oh, they're really nice, but they're also really tough or really strong. Like, how do those things line up? And it started to work itself out in my head, how you can still be a good person and be a nice person and be non-aggressive when you should be non-aggressive, but then turn it on when it's time to turn it on, you know? And that was something that it really helped me being in an environment where I could see it. And that goes to your point about maybe using stories or using movies or whatever, where they can get these lessons through a story as opposed to you just saying the lesson, because it's hard to know when you just say it, when you can see it and you can see how the story plays out. That's why those Rocky movies are so great. It's not because they're a great movie. Like he's not a fantastic actor. Like the boxing,
can't box either. Yeah,
the boxing isn't like it's great boxing, but it's just the story. You can relate to the story as a kid and that's how you can start to learn it. So I think that's a really good answer.
I just love it. I mean, my life is a little science lab, right? And I love it. Like take 5 or 10 kids up to the hill. You'll see who competes. Or do our another example is when we do our sprint starts, is you'll watch and you'll see some guys, they go and it's like every race matters. And then you'll see the guys that are not competitive, they'll look and they'll see who they're against. And there's always a reason why they can't go against them or they can't beat them. Or if they do, it's like they're real sheepish about it. But it's like the competitiveness is just like, oh, okay, I got to go against the fast guy. He's going to make me look stupid, right? Whereas you get the competitive guy, it's funny, man, because they yell at the end, I got you.
Yeah, every time.
I got you. Or, you cheated. Like, they can't lose.
I know, and I'm sitting here just like,
I laugh.
Boys, like, it's not a race, man.
But
like,
it is a race. It's important that it is a race. Yeah. And then, or you'll see, like, they are going against a little faster one, and they're trying to get the jump. They're cheating. Yeah, you're cheating. You want to win. That's the competitive. So you look at your kid, you put him in situations like that, you say, okay, I can see that my kid, when he goes against bigger, stronger, faster, better, whatever, he goes backwards and he doesn't want to actually push himself. So you got to learn how to navigate that, like push through those harder things and let them know that it's okay. Like that's what will make you great. And so on the ice, it's the same thing. It's like, I want to be clear. It's not just about hitting and fighting and being tough. What it is like if you're a goal scorer, being competitive is like you're going to get the puck and you're going to put it in the back of the net. And that might take you 3 tries or 3 whacks. You might take a two-hand across the forearm, but that scoring that goal and winning that game was more important than your safety. And that's what competitive is, right? and you want the ice. You want to be in the hard, hard situations, not pretend hard. Not, I don't want to be there pretend. I want to actually be there. And there's I know several people that if it takes, you know, getting a, like I said, breaking a wrist or breaking a thumb to take a slash to put the puck in the net, that's not a problem, right? So that's, and it's, to me, it's the biggest thing, period. You compete, I can work with you. Because here's the other thing is because if you compete and you can't skate well, I'm not saying you're not a 0 out of 5. You're maybe a 2 out of 5. I know that your competitive nature, when I work with you with skating, is that you're going to get it. Do you know what I mean? You're going to be gritty enough to get it. That's what the competitive guy does, because he can't stand not being good at something. You tell a competitive guy that you're off a little bit here, that just sets him off. But, and again, it's important not to be a little baby about it, like someone gave me an insult. It's like, okay, that, I'm going to show you. You're so competitive that you will not, right? So whereas you take a kid that, let's say his competitiveness is like a 1 to 2, like it's kind of there, and he doesn't have the gritty, I'll work through things, not tough, mental tough, or even physically tough. Now, if I tell you we got to work on your skating and we do something that you don't like and you're not good at, guess what happens? We're not grinding through that. We're going to try to get somewhere else. We're going to find a new trainer because this stuff I'm already good at and all that stuff. They just can't accept it. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
Yeah, for sure. That was a good little 101 course in competitiveness. I like that. That was a good one. I like that. What else you got?
Skill and skating. I'll be quick. Skill. So, I mean, when you're recognizing your skill, I'm not talking about going through pylons. It's not. It's kind of skill. It's a piece of skill that you can work on. But I'm talking about, do you bobble pucks? If you ever bobble a puck, it's like because your skill level is not up there the way it should be at that level, or you got a little bit of nervousness in you. Okay, should never bobble pucks unless it's like, but basically, you should never bobble pucks. Right? That's a sign of, okay, there's an issue here. Can you make passes? Can you make plays? Can you stick handle appropriately? If you get a bad pass in your skates, can you still come out with something? Can you protect pucks along the walls? Stuff like that. Can you do your skill at top speed? So that's all good. Obviously, you want to have as much skill as you can. But if you don't, again, you can. What if you took the next 5 years, you bobble pucks? Okay, let's say we're about puck bobblers. Okay. Was it your positioning or whatever? So let's just say, okay, I'm going to take a period of time. I'm going to work on for the next, let's use the 3 to 5 year thing. But for the next 3 to 5 years, I'm going to make sure I never bobble the puck. That's my intent. Well, that's probably going to get fixed in about 2 to 3 weeks just by doing like reps and reps and reps of all kinds of different things. Okay. So now you're a better player. So now if you have your hands are shit, you can actually work on your hands very quickly. Right, keeping your head up and doing stuff like that, so you can attack that. So, anyways, you've got all these good things. You work on that for 3 to 5 years, and now that should even out, or you're going to bring it from a 2 to a 3,
yeah,
which makes you a better player.
I'd be curious to hear what that scout that you were talking to had to say why he puts skating outside of skill. I was saying this to you before, because skating to me is a skill, but I'm sure there's a context to why he describes it that way. And it is a bit of a standalone in terms of why it's important, skating. But I'd be curious why it's a separate thing. But anyways, you can go on the skating part.
Yeah, so skating. What is skating? A nice stride, power? Like, that's the question, is identify, okay, what part is skating? Just like, I think I skipped that with skills. What part of skill am I missing? What part of skating now am I missing? Because skating is a big word. So is it, do you have quick feet? Are you explosive? Do you have power? Do you lack speed? Do you lack agility? Can you turn properly? Are you forwards, backwards, four-way speed, stopping and decelerating, all those edges, whatever. You got to figure out what it is that you need to do, and then actually just spend time on it. So this is an interesting one, and this is where I want people to think out of the box, okay? So most people are going to say you got to work on your skating. So where would you – I'm going to ask you the question, where are most people going to go?
Work on my skating of some power sort, skating, right? Skating coach.
Yeah, and that might be the answer. But like I said before, I don't know if that is the answer all the time, because I've seen plenty of people go to a power skating coach and you would never know, right? So that's the question, is like, what part am I skating? Understand what part. And you don't have to fix your skating today, but over the next few years, how? So can you try anything out of the box? So maybe it's the 15-year-old kid is just not strong yet. Maybe he needs to get into a gym. And maybe just be learning how to hip hinge properly and get to a skating depth, or, lateral lunges or lateral pushes, lateral squats, lateral jumps. Maybe that's all it's going to take. Maybe that's the answer. And it, you know, so try that. But like, so here's the thing: skating's a big thing, right? So that's one. Maybe it's you know, simply going to yoga for once a week is going to be something that's going to loosen up your hips and your body's going to be a little bit more in sync. Maybe it's gymnastics. Maybe it's a track coach. Maybe it's something along those lines. Maybe it's just doing a ton of plyometrics that activates your fast twitch. Like it could be something. So my point to that is you have a lot of time to fix it. So like if this is what I'm saying about a guy that is not the greatest skater. So if you have compete and you have skill and you have hockey sense, but you're a Thomas Holmstrom, for example, and for the kids that listen right now, he's not recent at all, but he was a goal scorer for the Detroit Red Wings, and he was about 6'2", 6'3", big, heavy guy. And when I watched him skate live, I said, he cannot skate. Now, Chris Draper also told me that he's got two knee replacements or really bad knees, but he was knee knocked, and but this is what I'm saying about the skating. He made up for his skating by knowing where to be, hockey sense. He had the skill that no one else had. You get in front of the net, and that's where all his goals were. So if he scored 100 goals in the NHL, 97 of them were from at the blue paint. So he figured that part out. So his skill was good enough there, right? You know, hockey sense, and what was at his compete level because he got to the net. And he played in the NHL for a long time. So you can work around the skating a little bit. So that now, if you're the Thomas Holmstrom of the world and your knock on you at 15 years old is like, wow, he's got really good skill. Can shoot a puck. Good, decent hands. Whatever the thing is, competes like crazy. Knows where to be. Just can't get there quick enough or whatever. It's like, that's a fixable thing. So if you look at a 15-year-old kid like you, or whatever age you are, you say the next few years I'm going to work on that, and you spend time, maybe you do extra power skating and some yoga and a track coach, and say like it takes time, you're putting effort into that thing, and then if you take that from a 2 to a 3, you've improved yourself immensely as a hockey player, right? So
yeah, we got to do a full episode on this power skating thing, because I think there's so much to talk about there that's interesting. But one thing I was going to say, I just want to give people an example of how not skating, doing things that aren't skating, helps your skating, because that seems like a hard thing to understand. But particularly when you're young and you're still your body's still developing, like when you're 25 and or 22 and you're already basically in your body, maybe like this could be another 2-hour talk, but maybe that's the time, like now we go work with a power skating coach to fix technical aspects of our skating. But when your body is still developing, there's a lot of things that will be addressed by doing other things. And so
being an athlete,
yeah, right? So that's where the training stuff comes in. So one example I want to give is one of the guys that we have here, he plays in junior, and one of the, let's say, knocks on him was a skating thing, like he needs to be quicker. And I remember you and I, we were talking about this kid, and I was talking about what like we're going to do in the off season for him, and I was just like, honestly, like I don't know if like he needs to just be working on his skating all the time, or is it that he was 15 years old and 6'1" and 195 pounds, and if he trains for 2 more years, he'll be able to sit into his hips lower, he'll be more explosive, he'll be stronger, he'll be able to handle that frame a little bit better. So is it like, does he need power skating, or does he need time and training off the ice? And my philosophy for this particular player was that I think it's just going to come with his training as he keeps training. And that's what seems to be happening, because that was 2 years ago, and now his frame is basically the same. He's a little bit taller, but he's basically the same weight. So now it's like he's had that frame for 2 years now, right? So now he can handle that much better than he could 2 years ago. He didn't have a power skating coach where it was like, I did an hour a day of skating stuff, yep. You know?
And he's touching on different elements.
Exactly. So it's not that this is a big discussion we could have, which I want to have that at some point, because I think it's interesting, but it's not that he didn't work on his skating or he shouldn't go do power skating, or it's not that, but it's just, there's, for this particular player in his situation, my belief was that better bang for his buck doing something else as opposed to just going on with a skating coach, because you keep going on with your skating coach and it takes away time from the training and vice versa. You train more, it takes time away from your ice time. So there's trade-offs, right? So that's just an example of where you could see by not doing actual skating practice, your skating will improve because you're stronger, because you're more explosive, because you did the yoga, you did the Pilates, and you're a little bit more limber, and you can actually get, or you develop some core strength, so your mechanics improve a little bit. Like, these are things that can happen without you actually being on the ice. And I think that's something that's hard for people to wrap their head around. They think, like, to get better at skating, I have to skate. And that's true to a degree, but that doesn't mean there's other things that need developing when you're talking about body mechanics. It's not just that stride pattern. If that makes
100%.
Sense. Yeah. So just want to give that example.
Do things
for that kid.
To change directions, plyometrics, like reaction time stuff. There's a lot of stuff. So yeah. So that's the thing. And the beautiful thing about a lot of this stuff is when you're fixing things, it doesn't have to cost you a fortune. So as parents, if you sit there and go, okay, I got to fix the skating, you want it to go 2 to 5 years on. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be, like you said, you don't have to rent the ice for $300 an hour. It doesn't have to be that. It could be the yogas that does the trick, or but different things, running up a hill, like lateral lunges. There's 100 ways you can do it, but that's where you got to just play with it. So if you're saying you got to fix it in a week, okay, well, then where you got to, that's a different problem, but you don't, you have time. And even like an 19-year-old kid that's maybe looking at being a pro, it's like you still have years to work on one thing. If you're good enough to get to a certain level, you can maybe take it to the next. So, you know, could be diet, could be all kinds of stuff. So anyways, that was that. I mean, I wrote down some stuff, like if I took, I rated some players like 4, 4, 4, and then a 1, like what does that leave you? I kind of went through that. I'll finish on these two things. Parents can help with this, and it just simply comes from a conversation. You know, like it's very touchy sometimes when you talk to your kids, because it could sound critical, or you could sound like you're too involved, or you care too much. But if your kid's working hard and you just have normal conversations like this, you know, like have a conversation of what do you think you're good at? What do you think you need improvement on? And hey, if I could help you with improving on X, would you want that? Yes. Okay, great. Let's look at a couple things like that. Right. Let's work on that. We're not doing it twice. We're going to do this long term and see where it goes. Let's look at it in 6 months, but we're not doing a minimum of 6 months. It might even take us 5 years. Right. And then if you take one skill bucket and you start filling it, okay, great. You made yourself better. Look at doing it somewhere else. Right. Yep. Spend some specific time, but it's really nice. The beautiful thing about that is that from a parenting aspect, if you can help your child, there's a lot of benefits to that, right? You help them see a problem, you help them solve a problem, you do it together. It's encouraging when you see them do something that, let's say it's skating, or let's say it's shooting, and you do a specific thing, and then after 3 weeks you see them shoot pucks and you can actually say, I actually see a difference in your shot right now, good job. And it's a reward system, right? See what happens when you work hard, see what happens when you put time in and not quit when it's, you know, it takes time to solve things. Those are all good things. And check in and encourage them. And then from coaches, it's the same thing. A good coach, especially at youth levels, will take a kid and say, this is where I think you really need to improve on in order for you to move forward or be a good hockey player. Would you like me to help you? And then give them some solutions, just like we did here. And it doesn't have to cost all kinds of money. It doesn't have to be a lesson. It could be watching a video. It could be being specific in your shooting. It could be spending time with your hands. It could be yoga, whatever the issues are, but you can help each other. Right. And it's a really important aspect. And then at the end of the day, you get parents, coaches, and players that are working together that care. And like I said before, it's not about for the kids, it's about playing the NHL, but in life, most kids aren't. So at the end of the day, can you take the Mike Weber, example and use hockey's life examples, hockey's principles, and use them for life to make you a better person? That's what's important. And then if you become a NHL hockey player because of, and then God bless you and the horse you rode in on. That's awesome.
Yeah, seriously. I think for me, I'm just going to go back to what I was saying before, is if you see a gap between you and somebody else, remember the time factor. You know, and if it's not a time thing, like if it's somebody who's the same age as you or whatever, and you notice a big gap, then just keep showing up to do the work, man. And over time, you catch up, you pass guys. Those are the two big things, the time, and then just keep showing up to do the work, man.
Well, to add to that, because I can't just leave you hanging. Yeah. No, but I wanted to say this earlier, is like, I've always said the biggest curse for most, one of the biggest curses in hockey sports and life is when you got a leg up on someone early, right? So the problem with, and this is why you'll see guys not drafted, drafted late, that end up being better than the guy that was supposed to be the star. Because without the challenge, like if I'm already, like if I'm a 16-year-old kid that is 18 years old physically, I'm playing against my age group, I should be better. So the challenge isn't there. A lot of the deficiencies can be hidden just because you're better. Right?
Yep.
So that kid goes through his life and he thinks hockey's easy. And that could be the compete level, could be whatever. Just bigger, stronger, and whatever. When it catches up, does that kid have the wherewithal, the work ethic? Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. To realize that, oh, I have deficiencies that I need to fix and I'm willing to do it. Whereas someone that has to fight for it a little bit, maybe he's a little bit physically less mature and goes through the process of spending time on, you know, not the immediate gratification of, okay, I got to just, because a skilled guy can just do something and it works, try it twice and it works. When it gets down in the muddy waters, can you actually stick there for a while and work through it? And that's the difference, is why you can say, when you, if you, as you say, the comparison, if you look at someone that is just 10 goals better than you or power play better than you at 16, 15, 17, 18, you put your time in on the little deficiencies and that you could end up being a better player,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So it's look long term. Don't look today.
Boom. That was a good episode.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to stop now. So... that's good. Okay, I'm going to go hang out with Charlie now, guys. So we'll see you next week. Goodbye.